All right, this is Ruth chapter 3. Then Naomi, Ruth's mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, should I not seek rest for you, that it may be well with you? Is not Boaz our relative, with whose young women you were? See, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Wash, therefore, and anoint yourself, and put on your cloak, and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. But when he lies down, observe the place where he lies. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do." And she replied, "All that you say, I will do." So she went down to the threshing floor and did just as her mother-in-law had commanded her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. Then she came softly and uncovered his feet and lay down. At midnight, the man was startled and turned over, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. He said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer." And he said, "May you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. You have made this last kindness greater than the first, in that you have not gone after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you ask, for all my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman. And now it is true that I am a redeemer, yet there is a redeemer nearer than I. Remain tonight, and in the morning, if he will redeem you, good, let him do it. But if he is not willing to redeem you, then, as the Lord lives, I will redeem you. Lie down until the morning." So she lay at his feet until the morning, but arose before one could recognize another. And he said, "Let it not be known that the woman came to the threshing floor." And he said, "Bring the garment you are wearing and hold it out." So she held it, and he measured out 6 measures of barley and put it on her. Then she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "How did you fare, my daughter?" Then she told her all that the man had done for her, saying, "These 6 measures of barley he gave to me, for he said to me, 'You must not go back empty-handed to your mother-in-law.'" She replied, "Wait, my daughter, until you learn how the matter turns out, for the man will not rest, but will settle the matter today." This is the word of the Lord. Now, the end of the harvest season was a cliffhanger in this story of redemption. Ruth had gone out to pick up lost and dropped bits of grain after the harvesters, and there's usually not much there to pick up. See, it's like looking for cans on the street or looking for a needle in a haystack, so to speak. But Ruth meets Boaz. And Boaz has it in his power to make her gleaning far more prosperous than expected. Ruth ends up with about 5 gallons of barley in a single day because Boaz is so generous to her. And at the end of this first day of gleaning, we learn from Naomi that this man, Boaz, is a redeemer. And as redeemer, he has the ability to take over Elimelech's land so it remains there to produce food for Naomi, and even to produce a son for Naomi. So Boaz has the ability to restore Naomi to the fullness that she once enjoyed. But then, the harvest season ends, and nothing has come of this encounter. the status of this plot of land is still in limbo. And Ruth has gleaned quite a lot, but the food will run out. And still there's no heir for Elimelech. There's still no one to carry on his family line. So God has promised land to his people, but Naomi still has no claim to her plot of land. God promised offspring to his people, but Naomi and Ruth are still childless. And God promised protection to his people, but Naomi and Ruth are still vulnerable. And Ruth's place among the Israelites is still not secure. These three things, the land, the offspring, and protection or provision, are all these elements of the covenant that God made with Abraham, that God promised to the offspring of Abraham. And here we see Naomi and Ruth in a position where those promises seem to have fallen by the wayside. And so we're left wondering, will God work out his promise to his people, or won't he? And I know that you, like me, struggle with this same question. Whether you've just succumbed to the same sin again, or you have strained relationships in your family or among your friends, somebody in the church you don't see eye to eye with, or any number of other things, we want to know, where is God? Where is God? And God has promised rest. And we all have times, many times, where we want to know, where will my rest come from? And so in this case, we're going to find out how God brings Ruth to the rest that he promised to his people. And in so doing, he brings rest to Naomi. And in this chapter, it begins with a plan, which leads to another meeting, which leads to a foretaste of fullness and rest. So this next chapter of redemption begins with a plan. And back in chapter 1 of the book of Ruth, Naomi calls upon the Lord to provide rest for Ruth and Orpah in Moab. Now, Orpah did go back to Moab, and she walked out of the story of redemption. But Ruth is still here, and Ruth is still needy. She has not yet found that rest. But she's in the right place for it. Ruth is in the land that God promised to his people, the place where God has promised he will be there for his people, the land where God promised that his people would enter into rest. And so Ruth, as it said of her in chapter 2, has sought the Lord for refuge. But what exactly is Naomi seeking as God's rest for Ruth? Well, she says it right here. She wants it to be well with Ruth. And in the biblical literature, this phrase, be well with, you know, it means leading a happy and full life. Naomi wants Ruth to have a happy marriage and to have children. She wants Ruth to know where her next meal will come from. She wants Ruth to have a roof over her head. She wants Ruth to be happy and not to be afraid. Naomi wants Ruth to enjoy the blessings of God's promise. And so Naomi puts in motion a plan. What she does is she tells Ruth to present herself to Boaz as a bride. You see, bathing, anointing, or putting on perfume, dressing up. You know, these were the things that you did in those days to prepare for a celebration, just like, you know, we prepare for a party or a graduation or any one of these things. But especially, these are the steps you take as you get ready for your wedding day. And so Naomi tells Ruth, go dress up like a bride. And go to Boaz when he's in good spirits, when he's content and at ease after a good meal. She tells him to go under cover of darkness so that he's the only one that she would encounter. And she even tells him, go to his place and uncover his feet, which is an action that is rife with sexual overtones. And so Naomi doesn't tell Ruth, go and tell Boaz to marry you. She leaves it up to Boaz. Naomi gives Boaz room to take initiative. But what she's telling Ruth to suggest could not be more clear. Now, when we say that Naomi is putting a plan for Ruth's rest in motion, we're not saying that God's not in control. As Proverbs 16:9 says, the heart of a man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. And Naomi, back in chapter 1, called upon God to provide rest for Ruth. And it's God who has brought this Redeemer Boaz to Ruth. And it's God who can make the plan bear fruit or not. And so Naomi's role planning the next steps is not taking God out of the picture at all, but it's God working through Naomi to accomplish his purpose of giving rest to Ruth, just as Naomi herself called upon God to do. As the Apostle Paul says, he says both that God has mercy on whomever he wills and he hardens whomever he wills. That's Romans 9:18. And Paul also says, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. 2 Timothy 2:10. So God's work in redemption is up to him. It's up to God. And as part of that work of redemption, God calls upon us to put it into practice. And even so, even if Ruth follows this plan to a T, the plan requires the Redeemer to take action. The plan requires God to move in the heart of Boaz to take action. Because Naomi tells Ruth that it's Boaz who will tell her what to do. Everything hangs on what God puts in Boaz's heart to do. If he decides to redeem, then all is well and good. But if not, this story takes a very different direction. And so we have a plan. And Ruth promises to follow through on Naomi's plan. And so she goes down to this meeting, to the threshing floor. And Ruth goes to Boaz, and only to Boaz. She uncovers his feet and lies down and waits. Now, threshing floors aren't enormous. probably half the size of this room. But, you know, they're big enough that with the breeze, with the noise of a breeze and out in the field, you can speak to someone in a whisper and expect you won't be overheard. And without artificial light, you can't see anyway. And in fact, Boaz, when he does awake, doesn't even recognize her. And he has to ask, well, who are you? All of us, I assume, have been at a sleepover and have been awakened in some unexpected way. I once was at a church lock-in, and I woke covered in loose change because my friends had decided to see how many coins they could throw at me before I'd wake up. I woke up with a basketball in my hands that they had put in my hands while I was sleeping. So, and that was an experience I had where I knew who was there. I knew that the youth pastor was watching over. It was startling, but it was a funny prank. But here, Boaz is sleeping outdoors. He's sleeping outside the walls of the city, if Bethlehem was a walled city. He wakes up with somebody there. And you don't know who. He doesn't know who this person is or what this person intends. And so you can imagine that even though it's a very irregular situation, he feels a little relief when it finds that it's someone he knows and approves of. And then comes her request. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer. Do you remember what Boaz said about Ruth back in chapter 2? He says that she has come under Yahweh's wings for refuge. And here comes Ruth's request, spread your wings over your servant. Ruth quotes Boaz back to him. She is asking him to follow through on what he himself has said. Remember those promises of land, offspring, and protection. Well, God has blessed Boaz so that he is able to make good on these promises. And so Ruth calls upon him to do it. Ruth calls upon Boaz to give her rest in the land that God has promised to his people. And this is what you and I do when we come to our Redeemer Jesus for refuge. God has promised rest for his people. God the Father has entered into his rest. Genesis says that on the seventh day, God rested from his work of creation. And yet there's no refrain saying there was evening and there was morning the seventh day. And so theologians throughout church history have concluded that God has enjoyed his rest from his creation work ever since that conclusion. And the Son likewise did his work of redemption and now enjoys rest from his work of redemption, shown by the fact that he has been seated at the right hand of God, as we read in Acts 2:33 and Hebrews 1:3. And this doesn't mean that God is inactive, that he's unconcerned with the world, taking a divine nap until judgment day. For Jesus says in John 8:58, the Father is working until now, and I am working. We read in Hebrews 8:25 that Christ continues to make intercession for us. But Jesus has finished his redemptive work. He came to earth to obey the Father, walking a hard road that led him to die alone on the cross, so that the guilt of your sins was counted against him. Your sins are paid for. And having made that sacrifice, having completed his work of redemption, Jesus was rewarded by the Father by seating him for a holy rest in the throne room of heaven. And he is inviting you to join him in rest. As it says in Hebrews 4, 9 through 10, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. But like Ruth approaching Boaz, it all depends on Jesus' work in redemption. You can only approach him. You can seek him for refuge, but you cannot give yourself rest. You cannot earn rest by your works. But you can come to Jesus. You can trust that his blood paid for your sins. You can trust that everything you ever did wrong, everything you ever will do wrong is paid for. Ruth could not give herself rest, but she could come to Boaz for rest. And you can come to Jesus for rest. And Jesus is glad to have you. Why did Jesus endure torment on the cross? It was for the joy that was set before him that he endured the cross, despising the shame. He found the joy of saving for himself a people. He delights in you. He willingly paid that price for you. He is glad that you belong to him here in his church. Just as Boaz doesn't find Ruth's proposal an imposition, he is happy that she wants to marry him. He is eager to redeem her. And he calls upon God to bless her just for asking. And yet, everything still needs to be done by the book. Because Boaz tells Ruth that there's another person who has the right to redeem. There's an obstacle still remaining until we come to the conclusion of the story. Now, probably Boaz could have just taken it upon himself to marry Ruth, redeem the land, and call it a day. He's a worthy man. He's well respected in the city. And surely nobody would oppose him. But things have to be done right. And by doing this, Boaz is perhaps even ensuring that everything will go smoothly, because if he steps out of turn, maybe later on questions arise and Ruth's position is actually endangered. And so Boaz wants to do everything just so. He wants to make sure that everything is right. He even does this in the way that he sends her away. She leaves before it's possible to recognize a person. And this avoids two possible scandals. The first being that it prevents speculation of an illicit liaison. And the second is that when Boaz settles the matter of who will redeem Ruth, it prevents any question about Ruth failing to approach the nearer relative first. So Boaz, likewise, puts things in motion, makes sure that everything will come to the fruitful and blessed conclusion that we want, if, of course, God is with him. So we've had this plan that led to this meeting. But this is Naomi's story. The introduction of the book shows that the main concerns of the story are Elimelech's family line and provision for Naomi's need. Because Naomi has returned empty, she says. But what about fullness? And here we get a foretaste of that fullness. Back in verse 5, Ruth tells Naomi that she'll do everything she tells her, but she doesn't quite follow Naomi's instructions to the letter. Ruth takes a little initiative, because in verse 9, Ruth doesn't just wait for Boaz to decide what action to take. She tells him, "Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer." And it's true that in some sense, Boaz is a redeemer for Ruth. But a main part of this story has to do with land redemption. And that plot of land has never been Ruth's at all. For the land belonged to Elimelech, Naomi's late husband. And if the land is redeemed, then the land's benefits will accrue to Naomi as long as she lives. And so Naomi sent Ruth to go find rest for herself in a marriage to Boaz. But Ruth seeks more than that. By calling upon Boaz as a redeemer, she is calling on him also to redeem the land for Naomi's benefit. And Naomi says in Ruth chapter 1, verse 21, that she returned to Bethlehem empty. And at the time, I pointed out that she had lost a little perspective. Yes, she'd lost a lot, but empty? She'd forgotten that she still returned with her daughter-in-law, Ruth. And she had failed to observe what God might do to her, for her, with the presence of this daughter-in-law in her life. And now, Ruth sees to it that fullness will be restored to Naomi. And as a foretaste of that fullness, Boaz sends Ruth back to Naomi with 6 measures of barley. It's hard to say exactly how much barley that is, but it's probably somewhere between 60 and 90 pounds of barley. And if Boaz goes on to succeed in his own mission of redemption, there's more to come. But this is a foretaste. They have enough food to eat for quite a while. And when Naomi sees this generous gift, she realizes something. The man will not rest, but will settle the matter today. So we come to one more truth about Jesus that Boaz points out to us. Jesus was single-minded in his pursuit of redemption for you. Jesus came to earth to work. He was tempted to sin. He endured the pain and weariness that you and I endure. It says in Hebrews that Jesus learned obedience through what he suffered. Jesus did not rest from his mission to save you. It says in Luke chapter 9 that he set his face to go to Jerusalem. Jesus knew that he would die there. Jesus set his face to die. It was his purpose on earth to obey the Father and pay the price for your sins. And now that he has done it, the Father has welcomed him into glorious rest. And he invites you into rest. You cannot give yourself rest, but you can seek Jesus for refuge. And you can come to him and trust that his righteousness covers your sin. For Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you give us this foretaste of rest, that we enjoy the peace of knowing that we are your children. For the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are your children. We thank you for this foretaste of rest. And Father, we look forward to the day when Jesus returns and brings the fullness of that rest to us. So we pray that you will keep us strong and watchful and ready at all times for that day. Amen.